For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined by Bob Phelan. Our co-host Nick Stevens is out this week. But on tonight's episode, Bob and I are going to take some listener questions and dive into the Orioles Major League and Minor League. We're going to talk a little bit of Rule 5 draft, as well as the current pitching situation. But first, Orioles on the Verge is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus. That's BLEAV. Bet online. The game starts here. And before we dive into the mailbag, we were joined by Lance Brodzkowski, the player development analyst over at Marquee Sports Network and also a analyst on multiple channels, including X, Substack, and YouTube. He had a lot of interesting analysis about the Orioles pitching situation from guys like Corbin Burnes and Grayson Rodriguez down to the minor leagues with Brandon Young and Chase McDermott. So if you had not had a chance to listen to that episode yet, go back and check that out. Bob, what were some of your takeaways from that interview?
I could just listen to Lance talk about pitching all day, every day. He's really great at what he does. And yeah, I mean, nothing mind-blowing as far as stuff we didn't know already about the Orioles pitching staff and the development. But, you know, it was just cool to hear a high-level presentation of what they do right. I thought it was interesting, you know, have guys mixing their pitches up and making tweaks here and there. And yeah, I agree with him. I feel like, you know, the more tweaks you can make, keep hitters off balance, they can't get the book on you, kind of like Grayson. You know, he's setting them up for later on in the most important part of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, we're going to get into our mailbag questions this week. We're actually going to build off of a discussion we had with Lance in our last episode with this question from The Bird Is the Word. Do you guys see Chase McDermott making impact this season? If so, when do you think we see him and in what role?
And that's another very interesting point that Lance brought up, was that he thinks he could be a better option than a guy like Kramer or Irvin, like, pretty soon. That would be exciting if he could get a chance to pitch out of the starting rotation. I do think he'll probably make a few starts. Now I'm kind of putting him at where we thought Povich would be coming into the season, where, you know, doubleheaders coming up, you need someone that's in line. I feel like McDermott could be that guy. Or if just, you know, like if Suarez continues to struggle, if Kramer has another setback, what have you, he could come up and give you some starts. But I really do think he's going to continue to start at AAA for the most part until mid-August into September. And then I think you bring him up to be a high-velocity arm out of the bullpen who can give you multiple innings. Hopefully his pitches play up in that role, and he could be kind of the right-handed DL Hall of 2024.
Up until we knew that Bradis was going to be out with Tommy John surgery, I thought that McDermott's path to the major leagues was probably in the bullpen. But now I do think we see him make at least a couple of starts before he goes to that role, if he does at all. The couple of things that I'm watching for, one of them relating to McDermott's performance and the other one relating to what the Orioles do as an organization. The first thing for McDermott is his command, because I think that the stuff, when you see it on its best nights, is clearly major league ready. And something we have talked about repeatedly on this show, something that John Mioli has written about at the Baltimore Banner, is that when McDermott is in the strike zone, hitters struggle to barrel him up. But he will have these outings, and he still has them from time to time, where the walks get away from him. If he can keep those outings to a minimum over the next month, month and a half, I think we could see him in the majors by mid-August. And then at that rate, maybe he goes in the rotation for a little bit and he's in the bullpen the final month as a way to manage his innings and to give you another high-powered option there, even if it's not in a high-leverage role. The other thing, though, is where the Orioles are going to do it's a trade deadline. If they fill in enough bullpen spots, in theory, they might not need McDermott. Am I 100% confident that's going to happen? No, because you could always use more bullpen help. But I will be curious to see, after the trade deadline comes and goes, what the pitching staff actually looks like and how much the Orioles decide to address it in terms of the rotation and the bullpen.
Yeah, it is a good point, because, you know, they could try to get a high-end bullpen arm. It might not come to fruition, or maybe they do it and it doesn't work out as planned, or someone gets hurt. Like you said, you can never have too many. Oh, hello, Sweden, Emil. You can never have too many high-end arms for the bullpen or the rotation. And again, another great thing or surprising thing that Lance said about a pitcher in the minor league system, Brandon Young, was that before he got to the AAA ball, if he would have kept the same inverted break on his fastball, he was going to be like a top 20 pitching prospect in baseball. Now, that was surprising to hear and great to hear. So hopefully they can find a way to tick that back up, and he could be another arm along the same lines.
And we'll go now to a question of a different topic, but somewhat similar, from Vivek. Since we are close to the half of the season being complete, what would be your updated Rule 5 protection list of players not on the 40-man? Now, McDermott would be part of that list right now because he is Rule 5 eligible after the season, doesn't have a 40-man spot yet. But there's a lot of high-profile names that are going to be Rule 5 eligible, as we've discussed on a few episodes. So with that, Bob, right now, if you had to make a decision, how do you think this would play out?
Yeah, a lot of tough choices. He actually listed some names to help assist, which is appreciated. Thank you, Vivek. Mayo, obviously, I think he'll be in the majors before the season is over. Same with McDermott. Brandon Young, I could either see him being part of a trade at the deadline, since he is 40-man eligible and he is on the come up as far as pitching prospects go. I could either see, I think he'll be added or he'll be traded, one or the other. Kyle Branovich, I think he has a chance. Trey Miguel, you know, these are also trade potentials as well as Young going into the deadline or early in the offseason. I could see it going either way depending on how their seasons go. Cade Stroud, obviously we were pretty high on him. He's struggled since getting to AAA, so we'll see what happens there. Billy Cook, I think he's a definite candidate. But he could be in a situation similar to Hudson Haskins last year, but I think he's a little bit better than that. And that's probably it. Some other names he has here are Justin Armbruster, Dylan Hyde, Alex Pham, John Rhodes, Moises Chace, Juan Nunez. Some really solid players there, especially Dylan Hyde is having a great year, Moises Chace, Juan Nunez. But I'm not sure that it's enough to put them on the 40-man. Maybe they're trade candidates, but I think more likely you're just going to have to take the risk that they won't be selected in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, I think that the clear top three are McDermott, Mayo, and Young. And one way or another, all three of those situations are probably resolved before the season ends, because I agree with you. I think we are going to see McDermott and Mayo in the major leagues in Baltimore before this year ends. And then in the case of Young, he's either going to be traded or he's going to get big league innings before this year is out. After those three, I think it starts to get a little bit murkier. And with Billy Cook, the key for me is he going to sustain the improvements with his strikeout to walk numbers the rest of the way? Because if he does, then I think he's a lock to be taken in the Rule 5 draft. Power and speed combination, can play multiple positions. And the biggest knock on him up until really the second half, maybe even a little bit earlier last year, was the strikeouts. He's made some considerable improvements in that area, though. And if teams buy into that, they're going to see him as a viable target in the major league phase of the draft. And I think that he would have a good chance of sticking on a roster because of the versatility he offers. And if he doesn't hit, you still got a guy who can steal bases for you off the bench the rest of the way. You can put him in AAA the following year. It doesn't take up a lot of room there. So I think that Cook is on the bubble right now. I think McGough is on the bubble. And then as much as I love Moises Chace and Edgar Portes as his upside, I don't think either one of them is close right now to being in Rule 5 consideration. Dylan Hyde, to me, is a sneaky one, though, because he has put up really good numbers throughout his career. He doesn't necessarily have the strikeouts you would look for out of a bullpen arm, but he's just been successful wherever he's pitched, and he's pitched well at Bowie this year. And I wonder, could he be one of those guys that puts together a good season, maybe get some Arizona Fall League time, and then come November when the decision's made on who to protect, he suddenly looks like an easy choice?
Yeah, that could very, very easily be the case. Couldn't agree more. I'm used to Nick being here and bouncing off three ways here. Apologies. But I guess I can move on to the next question. Also from Vivek. And it's crazy to think that the MLB draft is 3 weeks away, maybe even a little bit less than that now. Who are some of the 2024 draft prospects you could see the Orioles taking in the later rounds from, say, rounds 3 to 10? And actually, Nick, who we missed tonight, just recently put out a story on our Substack predicting, using the, was it Prospects Live mock draft app, that you can do the first five rounds. And what do you think about this question, Zach?
So this is a good question. I'm glad that Nick put that article out when he did, because it's perfect timing. And by the way, if you can go check that out, OrielsOnTheVerge.substack.com, and become a subscriber today if you want immediate access to that article. One of the names that stood out to me on Nick's list is right-handed pitcher Nate Knowles, who Nick has mocked the Orioles in the fifth round with the 160th pick overall out of William & Mary. Now, you look at his advanced metrics and some of the pitch data around him. He looks really promising. And so far this season, 112 strikeouts to just 39 walks across 80 innings pitched. Now, for reasons that Lance Brozdowski talked about in our last episode, you sometimes have to take pitch data and exit velocities with a grain of salt at the college level. But nonetheless, I kind of look at Knowles and think that he checks off some boxes that the Orioles like. He's got the good strikeout numbers. The command has improved considerably over the last year. The only thing that's a little bit different about him compared to some of the guys we've seen them target, especially from the right side, listed at 6'185". So he doesn't fit that big, powerful right-hander mold. But there's clearly some interesting traits here, and I'd be curious to see if he is going to be a target in that area, because I think if you could get a guy like that in the fifth or sixth round, it's worth taking the opportunity.
Yeah, that is a good choice. I would go with, and again, Nick is the college guy, at least much more than me. I don't know a ton, but just what I'm reading here and there. And I liked the guy he picked in round 4, which would be pick 127. That's a first base / right-handed pitcher. So you got to love those hybrid players. Cole Mathis out of College of Charleston. He's listed at 6'1", 210 pounds. He hit 14 home runs this season, walked 46 times while only striking out 32, even stole 14 bases, and he also OPS'd over 1,000 with 11 home runs in Cape Cod League at just 19 years of age. He won't turn 21 until the week of the draft, and we know that the Orioles have gone this way with guys like Reed Trimble before, where the younger guys at John Rhodes, maybe you can get more development out of them. He's got high exit velocities, good contact rate, doesn't chase much. Actually, Lance Brozdowski, who was just on our podcast earlier this week, comped him to former Orioles prospect and current Diamondback Christian Walker. That would be a great outcome there. And we've seen the Orioles take guys out of smaller colleges. So I think this fits pretty well with the organization philosophy.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll go to this question now from Billy B. And this is really more of a question for Bob, because Bob has more of the background to answer this question, which is, if you had to do a podcast on a separate topic, what would it be?
Well, I did do a podcast about 10 years ago, a movie podcast called The Red Box Report, which our little angle was that we didn't have the money or resources to go see movies in a theater every week, the new releases, so we would go to Redbox for $1 and rate the movies as they came to home video. You know, we'd been happy if we got 20 listeners per week. We would have been thrilled. So, you know, obviously it never took off, but I do enjoy watching TV shows and movies and talking about it, you know, nerding out about it. So I would probably try to get that off the ground again if I could. I don't really watch MMA at all now. At least I haven't in quite a while, but I also kind of eventually merged that movie podcast into just, no one's listening to this, so I'm going to just make it all my interest in one other than the Orioles. It would be like movies, TV, video games, MMA, just talk about whatever the biggest news was from any of those four topics. And I think Failing to Communicate was eventually what I changed the name of the podcast to, which I thought was pretty clever, but still no listeners. So what are you going to do? I guess I could go back to the drawing board with those if I had to.
Yeah, I don't really even know what I would talk about. I would probably just pull some stuff out of my record collection and drone on about it for an hour. Like, here's this Velvet Underground album that has a track that is 18 and a half minutes long. Here's my thought on it. That would be about it. It would not be the least bit interesting.
You've heard of movie commentaries? Here's music commentaries.
Which I don't have the budget to have the rights to music commentary, so that's another problem. But something to think about one day, maybe. I'll just throw this out there. The Orioles just lost their fourth straight tonight to Cleveland. You worried?
I'm shaking in my boots. No, I'm actually not. I know this is probably the longest losing streak of the season, I would have to imagine. I know we got swept by the Cardinals earlier this year. I mean, this game was super competitive against another one of the best teams in the American League and baseball in general. It's 3-2. Cade Povich gave up three, basically a quality start. He was one out away from that. Offense didn't exactly show up. Yeah, the series in Houston was terrible, getting swept by them, and none of those games particularly close either. No, I'm not worried. It hasn't even been a full time through the rotation since we just took two out of three from the Yankees. Yeah, I'm not worried. This June was a punishing month. We knew that coming in. We performed better the first two or three weeks of the month than we would have probably expected to. So, of course, I think there's going to have to be some adjustments probably. I don't know. I think we'll win at least one of the next two games and get us to July with some more time off, get the All-Star break, get some reinforcements. We'll be fine.
And Bob is correct. This is now the Orioles' new high for a losing streak on the season. The previous was three. Hopefully, though, by the time you're listening to this episode, the losing streak has ended, and this is a moot issue, but just wanted to throw that out there before we wrapped up tonight. And with that, we'll go into our final segment that we usually will bring out in the minor league segment for our episodes, but we're going to do it in the mailbag this week. And that's to shout out players outside the top 50 portion, or the top 30 portion of our top 50 prospects list for something they've done recently, whether it's been a good game, a good week, or maybe there's just something interesting in their stat line that we want to point out. I'm going to start with Bob because his hitter is a guy that I think was actually top 30 for a while for us, but has had some injury issues along the way. And the pitcher is one of those guys that's just kind of hung in there at the higher levels and performed fairly well in the last few years.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I really want to shout out Aaron Estrada, who is just really coming into his own. Snuck on to our top 50 in June. We'll see how high he could get in July. I really feel like he's having a breakout season in Delmarva. Just really fun to watch, as quite a few of the guys in Delmarva are, actually. But yeah, my hitter this week is Reed Trimble, a guy who just has not been able to stay healthy whatsoever since being drafted. His season high in plate appearances is 2022. He had 139 between the FCL and low A. Well, you know, this year he's battled some injuries, but he keeps coming back. And I have to say, he looks really good when he's on the field. He's batting 286 now in high A Aberdeen with an 893 OPS. That's a 146 WRC plus. The eye-popping thing here, and obviously it's only 62 plate appearances, but walking 17.7% of the time, only striking out 12.9% of the time. ISO is up there. It's not very BABIP dependent because he's got about an average BABIP with a 310 there. He's stolen 9 bases, hasn't been caught. He actually has never been caught stealing as a pro. Looks like he's got, quick math here, about 25 stolen bases in his minor league career without being caught. Just say, maybe it's not quite time to give up on Reed Trimble. Just turned 24 less than 3 weeks ago. So I'd say he's got a chance to potentially get the double A by the end of the season, start back there next year, and let's see if he can stay healthy and really use his tools to get back in the prospect game. And yeah, my pitcher is Nolan Hoffman, who's pitching in AAA. On the season as a whole, he's got a 4.26 ERA, striking out way more batters than he ever has as a minor leaguer. 29.7% of batters, which is 12.5 K per nine. But he's also walking about more than he ever has, 13.6%, which is like 5.5 per nine. But his FIP is 2.78. I'm trying to see here what could be. He gets a ton of ground balls, doesn't really give up home runs. I'm trying to see why his FIP is so much lower. But in particular, over the last month, since May 24th, he has pitched 12 innings, giving up no runs, 6 walks, 19 strikeouts. So on a bit of a run here. He's got a different angle. He's got that sidearm run we talked about when we took him in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft a few years ago out of the Seattle organization. So just, you know, if the Orioles need a reliever, maybe he is an option, especially if Brian Baker turns back into Brian Baker.
Good choices. I'll start with my pitcher because he's this complete opposite end of the spectrum as far as the minor league system is concerned, and that is left-hander Andy Fabian, who delivered a really good outing on Thursday, which was 4 shutout innings against Astros Blues, 6 strikeouts, no walks, and gives up just 2 hits. That was his best outing to date on the season, but you look at his numbers so far, and he's been quite good down in the FCL this year. 17 strikeouts to just 6 walks over 10 2/3 innings pitched. And the interesting thing is that 4 of those 6 walks actually came in one start. Otherwise, his command has been fairly solid this year. What I would note about Fabian is that he is a 21-year-old who was signed by the Orioles back in December, so he's technically part of last year's international free agent class, and he's listed at 6'4", 210. Other than that, I couldn't find a lot of information about him. I tried to take a little bit of a dive between Friday's daily for Patreon for patrons and tonight's episode to see a little bit more. The one thing that I was able to see was a clip from his Instagram, and he's got a pretty nice delivery, a nice smooth delivery from the left side. You could look at what he's doing and saying that he's a 21-year-old and a pretty physically imposing one at that, dominating a league where most of the hitters are teenagers. But the fact is that a lot of teams now are signing pitchers later, so it's not unusual to see a pitcher who's maybe late teens, early 20s in the Dominican Summer League right now. And so far, the numbers look good. So he's at least a guy that I'm going to have my eye on the rest of the way. I'm not saying he's going to be top 50 or anything like that, but I'm at least going to have my eye on him for the rest of the season. And then my hitter is Carter Young, who had an excellent series for Aberdeen as they took on the Wilmington Blue Rocks last week. In 6 games, he went 6-for-20 at the plate with a home run, a double, and three walks to five strikeouts. Overall, this season has been a struggle for Young at the plate, and it really has not done anything to silence the doubts about his bat that have followed him since his days at Vanderbilt. But if you want to look at a silver lining right now, the month of June has been by far his best performance at the plate. After hitting 108 and 149 in April and May, respectively, he's got the average up to 250 this month to go with a 344 on-base percentage and a 737 OPS. We've seen Young go up and down before. We saw this last year when he split the season between Delmarva and Aberdeen. So it could be that he cools right off. But hopefully in a month or two, we're able to look back at this week as the beginning of as a springboard for him to have a more productive season the rest of the way.
Yeah, we know he hits the ball hard. I know in spring training he was getting some pretty high exit velocities. It's just he smashes it into the ground. Been striking out a lot, but yeah, I saw him hit a home run last weekend, and I think he hit another one this week. So hopefully he can get that going. And while we're just having two less players in this section because of Nick's absence, I'd like to shout out Anthony Servideo, actually, who got promoted to AAA just because they needed an infielder. And he's been performing really well. He's batting in the mid-200s with like a low 700s OPS. And I can't remember. I said it on a daily to this morning exactly how many at-bats in specific numbers. But performing better than you might expect for a guy who's just, you know, up to AAA when he probably didn't deserve it from a performance standpoint. Not that he was really doing bad in AA, but is to go on top of his great defense up the middle. Just cool to see him get a chance and show his skills, whether it's for the Orioles or for another team down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see that. And with that, that does it for this week's episode. Bob, Nick, and I will all be back next week to talk about all things Orioles, including the major leagues and the minor leagues. In the meantime, you can find us on our many social media channels, including Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, TikTok, and YouTube. We're also over at Substack, OrielsOnTheVerge.substack.com. You can get written content from us covering the minor leagues as well as the draft. And while you're browsing around the internet, head over to Patreon, sign up to be a member of our community. You can join as a paying member for as little as $3 a month, and at the $5 and $10 levels, have access to bonus daily coverage from Bob, Nick, and myself. And it's also worth noting that we are just about a week or so away from updating our top 50 prospects list for the month of July. So you're not going to want to miss that. You can check that out by becoming a member of our Patreon community. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, presented by BetOnline and part of the Believe Podcast Network.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.